Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Maria Malik. Maria is as a human experience coach. She reminds folks that living is an art. She creates experiential retreats that ignite the inner healer. She brings people to the awareness that their level of wellness is directly related to their peace of mind. Her methods teach others how to find their flow and live fully with all of their senses. Maria, welcome to the space.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm very happy to have you here. So I just read your bio, and I would like you to expand and tell us a little bit more about yourself, a little bit more about your journey.
Well, my journey has taken me about 25 years to get here. And for quite a long time, I didn't know what I was doing other than being a mom. And I'm a mom of five children, and they are affectionately my experiments to who I am and who I've become. And I finally know, outside of a mom, who I am, and I'm a human experience coach. And what that means is that I help people with the flow of their life and experience life as we were created, experiencing their atmosphere around them and treating life like it's an art, like it's a canvas, that every day is a new day, that our mistakes of yesterday don't have to be our mistakes today, that we have a brand new slate every single day. And I help people to create an atmosphere around them that is elevating, you know, with water elements and color elements and eating real live foods and nurturing our minds and our bodies. And I give monthly retreats out of my home, and I've mindfully created this sacred space for people to come to transform their lives who have finally said enough is enough and are literally ready to jump. So I tell people, make sure your chute is packed and just jump. And it's really a boot camp that I'm offering here, because the retreats are one day. I figure everybody can give one whole day for themselves to invest in themselves. And I give people tools and methods that they try and experiment with here, and then they could take them home and use them right away. I've been having amazing testimonies and results of people who have really been enjoying their stay here. And most recently, a woman said that she got more out of this one day than she has a whole year with her life coach. And, you know, I'm not looking for anyone to go fire their coaches, but, you know, what works, works. And we really need to make make that initial investment, and we really need to dive in. And I believe that I help people do that comfortably and safely in this environment.
Okay, so yes, this is going to be an incredible conversation. Everything is so rich that you just said, and we're going to dive more into it after we do the first question. But we're going to start with a would you rather question. Okay. So to open it up, Maria, would you rather have a magic carpet that flies or a see-through submarine?
A see-through submarine?
Mm-hmm. Where the bottom is see-through. Or even the sides, the whole thing is see-through.
A magic carpet or a see-through submarine.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I can think of positive things for both of them. But I think I would say a magic carpet.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is such an interesting question. I think because I would like the wind in my face.
Oh, I love that.
Be out in the sun and be the feeling, the movement through the air, as opposed to drifting in the water, which I think is great too, but I really like to be out in the elements and really experience it and the smells and the sounds that I would hear. I don't think I would feel that way in a see-through submarine.
Yeah, it definitely seems like your vibe is definitely like I am out here. I am to be seen. I want to feel things. Like, yeah, I could definitely see that. And even just speaking to you, because we haven't met in person.
Right. And for me, and I've really had to develop this, is I love to feel everything, the good, bad, and the ugly. I really don't mind, because it's only through feeling that we can get through the other side. And today we are taught so much to suppress, don't do that, you know, turn off your feelings, over-medicate. And I'm all about just keeping it raw. And most people don't realize that you got to go through it to get to the other side.
Yeah.
And even though it's painful, it's a lot quicker than suppressing it, because then it gets stuck in your body and then it manifests in sickness. And this is scientifically proven.
Yeah. Yeah. So powerful. Yeah. They have to feel everything. It's, yeah, because it's so true, isn't it? I mean, we are so numbed out. Like, I literally, my most recent, I literally just posted an article in Brains Magazine about zombies, and just made all these correlations to, you know, us being zombies. And you were just so numb.
What I like to compare it to is, if we're turning off our emotions, and our emotions are the vocabulary of our body.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
Driving a car without signals, you're going to crash inevitably.
Yeah.
You may be able to get away with it for a while, but inevitably someone behind you is not going to be paying attention, and they're going to rear end you. And the same within life. If you keep suppressing and suppressing, suppressing, where are your coping skills for when the big things really happen?
Yeah. Whew, okay, this is going to be good. Okay, so, and that isn't even the first question. It was like the kind of first question. So, okay, so Maria, let's dive in. So how do you define creativity?
Wow, these are good questions. I love thought-provoking questions. How do I describe creativity? Well, I believe that we are inspired by our creator, and that inspiration comes from within, and that it is our, maybe not duty, but how we respond to that and how we put action behind it because think of how many ideas that you have during the day and how many do we actually act on because of our negative self-talk, or we don't think we're qualified, or we don't think we're worthy enough to do that, or, oh, that's too big. And I'm talking about even everyday creativity. Some people don't explore cooking because they think, well, it's probably going to be bad, or, you know, I'm not a chef, I'm not trained. And I think creativity is experimentation. And I experiment all the time. And when I'm teaching people about health and wellness, there's nothing that I teach people that I haven't already tried. And I share my successes and I share my failures, but I think the creativity is in the experimentation and the fun of it. I mean, what the heck else are we going to do? You know, life isn't just about working, paying bills, you know, that whole thing. Life is about experiencing it. And how can you experience things unless you try things and experience? And you know whether you like it or you don't. And the outcome is subjective. And I've come to a point in life where I'm really not concerned with your opinion. Your opinion is my business. And as long as I'm doing things rightfully and nobly and honestly, then it doesn't matter what your idea of creativity is, what my outcome
is. Yeah.
I'm experiencing life.
Your sound is kind of going in and out.
Okay.
There we go. That sounds better. Okay. Whatever you just did right there, I'm not hearing all the background noise.
Okay, that's weird. I'm like moved 2 inches.
It was kind of sounding like you're underwater a little bit. So yeah, we can edit all this out. So it's totally fine.
I will stay put.
Yeah, and I'm not hearing my, well, I am. I'm kind of hearing my voice in the background. Ah, okay. It kind of goes in and out of me hearing myself. So, okay. And there's no headphones near you?
No.
Anywhere? No? Okay. 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 So what I'm hearing, what I heard so much of what you said, which is incredible, is you kind of went through it. At first you said, we're inspired by our creator. Inspiration comes from within. And then you talked about ideas. And then you got really, then all of a sudden there was like even a twist in like real passion in your voice where you said creativity is experimentation.
Yes.
And then you started really kind of, instead of just rattling things off, then you were like, successes, failures, life is about experience things. Outcome is subjective.
Yeah.
I love that whole point because it's, and what you were saying is so true, is because it's what I see. And with what I do as well is people are so fearful. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, that whole thing with the thoughts that we have, I don't know what the science is behind it of actually how many ideas we're constantly, we have all of these thoughts, but how many are these repetitive thoughts where we really treat ourselves like shit?
Yeah. And what we focus on expands. So if we're always focusing on that one thing, you're going to get more of that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it really comes down to our feelings. Like I talked about at the beginning, our feelings are a vibration that we put out into the world. And those feelings, those vibrations are actually looking to match the vibrations in our world, in our environment. So if we have feelings of abundance, abundance can only come towards us because the vibration gets aligned with like vibration. And that's really a part of the whole manifestation. You know, a lot of people say, well, I say all these positive affirmations and they never work. Well, your words didn't match what you were feeling inside your body. And what we feel is what we radiate. So, you know, there's a lot of sad people out there with happy smiles on their faces, but their faces don't match what they're feeling. And you know what it's like when you walk into a room, you could feel the positive people and you could feel the negative people.
Yeah.
Who do you gravitate towards? You gravitate towards the people who are vibrating like you are, believe it or not.
Yeah. It totally makes sense. So I want to kind of go back to this of what you said in the beginning, because I think that's it's just so key, the whole thing with emotions and repression. It's everything. But I guess actually a little bit further, my brain is kind of like going really quickly. So when you did first introduce yourself, you said that you were a mom first and that, you know, your kids were your experiments and you practice what you preach, basically. So when did you start really diving into this world, into this more holistic space?
Well, it's kind of interesting in that I was having babies. I was pretty much pregnant for 7 years. And I did suffer 5 miscarriages in there, and I have 5 children. So I was pregnant 10 times in 7 years.
Wow.
And during that time, I had a friend who was telling me about different things in health and wellness, and I was extremely allopathic at that point. And I'm like, oh, you're crazy. And then something happened to a family member. Their child was vaccine injured. And this was when I was having my babies and making the decision of whether I was going to do that or not. And then I just dove into the rabbit hole, and one thing led to another. And here's where the experimentation came in, is that every new thing that I learned, I applied it and saw if it worked or didn't work in our family environment, you know, whether it was aligned with our values and things of that nature. And it's really funny. At one stage in my life, I was juicing 50 pounds of carrots a week.
Oh my God.
I was turning my children orange. I'm not even kidding. And every morning they would have their carrot juice, and people were like, you know, your kids kind of look orange. And because genetic background, I have Czechoslovakian in me, I'm like, oh, that's, you know, that Czechoslovakian kind of thing. And I was like, holy crap, my kids are orange. So I knew, well, we were doing too much carrot juice. And everything, we were raw, we were vegan, we were 80% raw, 20% cooked. I chose not to vaccinate my children after that. And we homeschooled for a little bit. So I just dove into everything, literally coming down the pike as a new mother. And as a result of it, my kids are actually very adaptable. They're individual thinkers. They're all leaders. So the lifestyle that I put them through was actually quite beneficial. I wasn't one that was really married to these strict schedules for my kids. And as a result of it, they're very colorful themselves. They're all individual. They're not clones of each other. And I like that now that they're adults. And they thank me. You know, when they were going through it, they were like, oh, why do we have to do this? And of course, they couldn't understand why I was doing this. But now, individually, they've all come back to me and like, oh, thanks for doing this, Mom. And you know, they're all good eaters, and you know, they make informed choices. And that's a big thing that I like. Make giving people the opportunity to make an informed choice. We all know what we're doing, but there's always something new that we can learn. So why not hear about it? If you don't like it, you don't do it. If you like it, you incorporate it in your life. And I think it gives people a lot of freedom when you live life in that manner.
Yeah. Choices make freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That really opening up your world, opening up the kids' world. And it's funny because I understand, like, with my kids, I was always dragging them places. I was always trying different things and they'd be like, oh, but you're so, so right. It's, I really like the way that you worded it, where you said that they're all individual, they're leaders, they're adaptable, they're colorful.
It's yeah, like I think we have what we to want. Be yeah, we have to be adaptable in this world with all the things that come at us. And being adaptable, I believe, is being comfortable in your own skin. And I'm really grateful that, you know, it wasn't easy. I'm not going to say that it was super easy having five little birds, you know, with they're all five children under 7 years. So had three in diapers at one time and they weren't triplets, you know. So I had to be adaptable and they learned that from me and my husband.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd like to hear more about, so as you're helping families or individuals to make these shifts from being in this, like, as you stated, from over-processed, over-medicated lifestyles to these simpler, sustainable everyday wellness, how do you take somebody? Is it like, can you just give us a little bit of how you might take somebody on that journey?
Sure. The very first thing that I require of people is their willingness to be open. And they have to want to make the changes. And a lot of people say they want to, but then they really don't want to do anything about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to want it. You have to believe you can achieve it. And then you got to take action. So that's, if someone's like, yeah, I really don't think I want to do that, then we're probably not a good fit to work together. I really look for people who are ready to pull the trigger, because then I don't have to do a lot of hand holding. And then I have people take an account of what they're doing in their life, what their home environment is like, what kind of products are they using, what people are they surrounding themselves with, what music are you listening to. These are all important. I have them write things down, journal, if you will, and then take notice of really looking at your life and not just being on autopilot. And then ask people, what is it exactly that they're looking to achieve? What are their stumbling blocks? And most of the stumbling blocks are really stuck emotion, because a lot of people have a lot of symptoms and physical ailments that are caused by stuck emotion. And why? Even if someone's doing everything right, or so they think everything is right, and they're still not making progress, it's usually because there's stuck emotion in the body, physically in the body. And then we work on getting rid of those stuck emotions. And I take one emotion at a time. You can't focus on more than one, because you're really setting yourself up for failure. And then I make suggestions. Well, try this, try that. And they determine whether they can do that or not. But the key is that once symptoms start going away, and once they feel better about themselves, then they're willing to try more things. But if you're feeling crappy about yourself and you can't get up in the morning, or you really have to drag yourself out of bed in the morning, then you're not going to care whether you're eating right or whether you're not watching a whole lot of TV and things of that nature. You're not going to be motivated. So once symptoms start going away, then it's like, hey, what else can I do? You know, you get on a high for feeling good, and you want to bring more things into your life that are going to elevate your environment. When your environment is elevated, it takes a lot to bring it down. But then when there is that time when things happen, you're better able to cope, manage through it with really with grace and ease. And it's really kind of it's at your own pace. There's really no time limit. You can't put a time limit on in 30 days I'm going to be rid of this emotion, or I'm going to reprogram that old program. And it's really just a willingness, consistency, doing small things, because those small things add up. It's about the progress, not the perfection. And we have to get rid of that idea of perfection, because there is no perfection. We're always in progress. We're always adapting. And having these high expectations are great, but you can't beat yourself up if they don't happen in the time that you're looking for them to happen. And you have to celebrate the little wins. You know, if you're looking to do 10 push-ups unbroken, you got to start with one. And then you go on and you celebrate each win until you get to your goal.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, so powerful. I just really appreciate what you said about one emotion at a time. Yes. Because I think that's a really big thing, because it's kind of going back to the fact that what you're saying is you really want to work with people who are really ready. You're vibrationally kind of at that space, who truly want to, not just saying it. But yeah, it's that. Because everybody's like, oh, I'm going to fix everything at one time and I'm going to feel so amazing and my life is just going to be in order. But when you're really kind of digging and these things are being presented through the journaling and all these other ways that you said, it really is one thing at a time.
Well, what I have learned, and I really feel like I cracked the code on this, and it's only through my own experience of it, you have to feel how you're going to feel when you reach that goal. Most everybody knows what it feels like to walk over or run over the finish line. That feeling of accomplishment, and, you know, if you've won, or just that feeling. We know what that feels like, or we know what it's like to maybe get a cash bonus, or to win a prize, or to get a surprise or a gift. We all know what that feels like. Christmas morning. So if you can conjure that feeling in you now, that's the vibration you're putting out there. And that's the vibration that has to come back to you. So reaching a goal isn't just doing that hard work. It's already feeling as if it's been accomplished. And it just takes practice. And a lot of that practice is gratitude and being thankful that the outcome has been achieved. I always tell people, you know, when you order from Amazon, you pay for your product ahead of time and you expect it to show up at your door. This is the same thing. Making a goal, you're paying for it ahead of time with the hard work and you're expecting to reach it. So you have to feel the expectation now. You have to live as if it's already been achieved. And I can tell you that I have time and time again proven that. Again, and I get excited with the experiment. And I actually did this recently. I was at a conference in Orlando, and the parking for the day was like $22 or $27. And I got my ticket, and I said, yeah, I'm not going to pay for this parking today. Literally, I said that to myself when I pulled the ticket. Mm-hmm. And when I was checking out, the ticket wasn't working in the machine. So I had to repark my car, went into the hotel and said, hey, it's not reading the ticket. And the guy said, oh, well, let me get you one. And he gave me another ticket. And I was like, darn, I got to pay for the parking. Well, when I went and put the ticket in, it said, thank you. Have a nice day. I did not have to pay for parking. I mean, it sounds like a silly little example, but you can do that in any aspect. Like, I was already feeling I'm not paying for parking. And, you know, 8 hours later, I come out and I ended up not paying.
Yeah.
Call it a coincidence. I don't know. But that's kind of how things work with me.
Well, it's really setting the intention and really feeling it. I can see somebody being like, well, that didn't work for me. I tried it. But then it goes back to the belief and to the vibration. And it's something that you practice and really get into your system. So I think it's important to show that as an example, because there are little things you can just have fun with and play with. And as you feel more confident with those little things, then you can move up to the bigger things.
Yeah, because everything we feel affects our environment, again, with the environment in our atmosphere. So if you're putting that out there, it has to find it. I mean, make it a game. I do it with parking spaces too. When I go to the store or go to a restaurant and I say, yeah, I'm going to park right in front of the restaurant, or doing things like that in any little situation in your life, start with the small things and then you get the practice to do it for the bigger things.
Yeah.
And just believe it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if you're feeling inside, well, it's probably not going to happen. I never win anything or nothing ever goes my way. Well, that's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a perfect way to segue into the second question, because I want to hear more about how you actually incorporate creativity, because we talked about some stuff. But actually, I should first welcome the people that are here live. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you. So any questions or comments, please put them in the chat box below where we can see them. So how do you actually incorporate creativity into your own life?
I do it quite a bit because I love presentation and I love to make people happy and I love to surprise people with the unexpected. So actually in my monthly retreats, each month is different. It's a different theme. I give away great swag, so I get creative with what's going in the swag, and I get creative with food and presentation. I'm not a trained cook or anything, but I have private chefed a bunch of different retreats, and I love to use colorful bowls. I love to use glasses that have I am statements on it because words have vibration as well. So if you surround yourself with things that are elevating, then that is physically going to affect you. So I have positive statements all around my house. I have a lot of color in my home, on the floor, on the walls. I always have some kind of a water sound in the background, whether it's coming from our pool or if I have natural sounds playing on the television in the background. I use diffusers, and a couple of the diffusers I have music or gong sounds, and I do a lot of creativity with my dress. I love to wear a lot of colors and a lot of different textures. And so, again, I'm affecting the atmosphere basically with my presence, and as is everybody else. So creativity is a part of my everyday living. And I do my best to make people feel special with these different elements of creativity.
Yeah, I wish, in this case, I really wish it was a visual, because when we had our initial talk and I could see your space, oh my gosh, everybody, her house is so, it just makes you smile. It's not overwhelm. It's just a very comfortable, energetic, high vibe space. And I'd love that. Maybe if you could share the story of at one point, everybody, she was standing in front of this this glass. I'm not sure if it was a door or just a backdrop, but it had, was it a heart?
Yes.
And yeah, it's just like, so yeah, if you could tell the little, I know there was a little story behind that.
Well, my son was getting married and they were getting married in Tennessee, so they couldn't invite everybody they wanted. And I had a big party at my home. And I had a friend of mine who's an artist create this heart mural on the slider doors, because I figured people could take pictures in front of it, you know, like a photo booth. And it literally is in the center of my home. So when you walk through the front door, it's the first thing you see. And then on the other side of it is our lanai, where our pool is. And I have some furniture out there, so it's actually like an outdoor room. And you could see it from both sides. And I just think that it was strategic that it's in the center of my home, like the heart, you know, in our bodies. And it makes everybody feel good and at ease. And really, all the color and things that surround everyone here is really like a comfortable hug, basically. It's true. You really do just feel good when you're here. And it was done intentionally. Everything has been done mindfully with a purpose. And so after the party, I could have scraped it off and I said, you know what? I think I like it. And we kept it here.
Well, there's that whole aspect too of, here you had this idea and you were just like, not exactly sure what it's going to look like, but I know somebody who could really create this for the space. So there's that spontaneity element. Uh-huh. So you invite them into the space and then it creates this, it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize it could be temporary, but then you get right. to choose what you want it to be. And I just can't say that enough for people. And it's kind of like was mentioned in the beginning, to just try different things. And you know what? Pick a color to put on the wall and do a test. You know, experiment. See what that looks like. Because I think I've seen in my world, and I'm wondering about you, people get scared of color.
Oh, yeah. Some people are like, whoa, this is way too much color for me. And color is actually a vitamin, is actually a supplement for the body. And I feel with all the color that I surround myself with in my home that I'm constantly getting this feed of vitamins. And I think the people who can't handle it are ones who just haven't been exposed to it enough. So it's like a muscle. You have to exercise it a little. And I have a friend who has a kind of a fashion business, and that's what she teaches. She actually teaches people to get comfortable with the color red, you know? And my thing is just get comfortable with all the colors. And I wouldn't know what to do without color.
I know,
honestly.
Right?
Yeah.
I know, because we have that immediate tendency. It lights me up too. I can't, like at one point when we first moved into our house, we have changed it. We've been here for 19 years, but we had like one wall We had two walls in our living room purple, and then another one yellow. And then in the other room, we had other colors. And it was just like, oh my gosh, some people would walk in and be like, ah, this is too much. We had like a blue couch and with a blue and a red couch. But to us, it just feels amazing. What we decided to do, it's been a few years now, but we did different variations of gray, but then we have color everywhere with pops of color just everywhere because every portion of our wall is covered with something. But yeah, I can't imagine the space, but I know that when people walk into our space, they're just like, it's like a gallery of stuff to look at.
Yeah. And I like that.
Yeah.
It's not boring and it's sparks conversation. And I even tell people, okay, if you can't do this much color and you're more monochromatic, throw in pops of color.
Yeah.
It really does make people feel good. I feel uncomfortable when the room is just too monochromatic and everything is just various shades of one color.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel uncomfortable.
It does.
I even drive an orange car.
I love it. What color is the interior?
Black.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But the orange, I can't sneak anywhere because it's pretty visible. And the good thing is I can always find myself in a parking lot.
Exactly. Well, and your clothes, because I've seen your website, but I mean, I'm sure I can see that most probably every day, like you talked about color and texture and your hair is short and then it's spiky. I mean, everything about you is, I am comfortable with myself.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, truly.
I am. Finally come to a place where I'm comfortable in my own skin and I'm okay with it, with it all, the good, bad, and the ugly.
I always wish that, and I'm so happy that my kids are getting that at a younger age, because honestly, it's taken me a while to get here. So being 53 now, soon to be 54, it's been a journey. But I'm so happy to see that at 18 and 21, they are grasping it so much sooner. I'm like, please do not wait, because we're obviously giving them the tools also and setting examples for it. But it's so wasteful.
It is. Right now, you know, from that age to the 50s, because I'm 56, soon to be 57, and I feel like everything was a training ground. And I've heard that a lot of people, or most people, don't really hit their success until 50 and 60. So I feel like I'm in my prime. That was a dress rehearsal, and now I'm really going to live my life because I know who I am and I know what my purpose is. And I believe my purpose is to help people view their bodies as sovereign and to take care of their bodies like they would a Ferrari. And doing that takes a creative way of living, your own creativity. You know, you don't have to live the way I live, but find different ways in one's own life to bring out the best in themselves. And don't take life too seriously. I don't worry about a thing. And there are things that happen, but I know that we're going to get through it gracefully because we have the coping skills and because we're feeling our way through life as we should. That's why we were created with emotions.
Feeling way through life. Yeah. So listeners, yes. Don't be scared of it. We need to feel it. We need to be in it. But not overwhelm us.
Right. And instead of using the word overwhelm, because I feel that's a negative word, getting to the point of overcapacity. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that feel different to you?
Yeah, it does. Actually.
Overwhelm or overcapacity. Overcapacity is like a cup overflowing.
Yeah.
overwhelmed with something we have to deal with. Mm-hmm. And I just learned that recently, changing that one word.
Yeah, it's all a process. It's all learning, and it's all putting it into our vocabulary that resonates.
Yeah, the vocabulary is very important because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. Our words are creative, and our words, again, are vibration. And you speak life or death. And our words can make us sick, but our words can also make us healthy.
Woo! Okay. That's really powerful. I love that. The power of the tongue, life or death in the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. You speak life or death.
Yeah, we do. And because words have vibration, you have to choose them wisely.
Yeah.
Declaring things puts that energy out into the world. And again, what you declare is what you're going to get back. So declare the things you want. Don't declare the things you don't want. And it just takes practice.
Yeah.
And once you're aware of it, then in every moment you have the choice to either speak life or death into yourself or into your life. It's a choice at that point.
Well, here we go. As we're getting to the top of the hour, let's put a little bow on this. And we've discussed all of this, and I want to hear from you to wrap it up and say, so why is creativity important?
Creativity is important because it is a living thing. It is a living vibration. And if you want to live your best life, then you have to be accountable for every moment of it, everything that comes out of your tongue, every action that you take. And you could take the high road or the low road. And creativity is something to have fun with, is something to enhance our lives. And I believe we're all programmed for it. And I think it's important who we surround ourselves with, because there's that whole collective consciousness thing. And, you know, if you're in a mob or in praise and worship, there's an energy there. And it's either creating life or it's killing life. And if we all want to live our best life, then we have to do those things that are going to keep ourselves uplifted at all times. And it's possible. I really believe it. I live it every day. And many people say, I want what you want. And I ask them, are you willing to do what I'm willing to do? And then what happens is, they take what they can do and they leave what they don't. And at the end of the day, everybody ends up feeling better than when they previously were introduced to the things that I teach.
This is what I want to put out to the listeners, is so much wisdom has been shared, but really look at who you surround yourself with. Yes. Because that is really key. I mean, obviously we're key because we're responsible for who we are. Yes. We're responsible for our actions, and we can blame, but I think it's an important component to recognize that we have to take responsibility for our actions and how we respond and how we react to things. But there's a big portion in being aware of who we surround ourselves with. Are you surrounding yourselves with people who uplift you, who challenge you in a positive way to grow? Or are you surrounding yourselves with people who are like, but you've always done this in the past, why should you do something different? Or, why would you want to do that? That doesn't seem very safe.
Right. Well, and you know, you got to think, are those people not looking for you to succeed? Do they want you to stay where they are because it makes them feel better and comfortable? I tell people, if things are not going your way and you think you're doing all the right things, you definitely look at your self-talk and you definitely look at the people you surround yourself with. And we really are the five people we surround ourselves with. So take a look at your inner circle. Are they supporting your life or are they suppressing it? And are you allowing it? That's the other thing. When your desire to change is greater than your desire to stay the same, that is when the magic happens. And that is when you jump.
Yes, there's the parachute.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, I am ready. I am ready. I will just take it. I will go through what I need to go through. And I'm going to have fun in the process. And I'm ready to jump, ready to take the leap.
Yeah. And it's different for everybody. The thing that we should not do is compare ourselves because we are all unique individuals. We are like a unique note in a symphony. Nobody can play our note but us. And comparison is the thief of joy.
Ooh, okay. Maria, can you please tell people how they can connect with you?
Sure. Just like everybody else, I'm on social media. I'm on Instagram as Maria Malik, just a mom. And my name, Maria Malik, on Facebook. And that's basically the best place to connect with me. And if you want me to give my email, that's aromalivingbydesign@gmail.com. And I have monthly retreats that are open to everybody. And I would love an opportunity to let people experience life with all their senses. And you'll get that here.
Yeah, what I like about your retreats coming up that I saw, they have all different kinds of themes. Like you said, you have a monthly theme, but financially fit living, a mother-daughter retreat, vibration healing with sound, discovering the words. So there's lots of different themes for different people. And and with that, you really create the whole environment.
Yeah, I do. It's a whole immersion. And you really get a great experience here in one day. Everybody could spare one day to invest in themselves, and it could change the trajectory of your life forever.
Well, I am so grateful that you have taken this hour to speak with me. Thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you for having me. I'm really honored, and I appreciate the opportunity to get my message out there.
Yeah, and it is a strong one. And before we leave, is there any kind of like just final word of advice you want to give?
I just want everybody to take a chance. Take a chance with yourself. Try something new. Bring more life into your life with color and water sounds and good real life foods, home-cooked meals, and really start living. Get out into nature because all answers, I believe, are found in nature and in the inner healer that resides in all of us. So take a chance with yourself, invest in yourself, and be kind to yourself. Because when that happens, then you're kind to everybody that surrounds you.
So beautiful. Everybody take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Okay. This space is all about inspiring each other, sharing stories and connecting. That's what it's all about. So please like, follow, and share so we can spread these inspiring messages and amazing people and just lift each other up because it's what we need. We always need it, and we especially need it now. So thank you so much. I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are listening in the world, and be talking to you soon. Okay, goodbye, everybody.
Bye, thank you.
Thank you.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.